Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Greg Maturi, currently the pastor of St. Dominic's Parish in Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Great to be here, Tim.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and talk about what we believe as Catholics. And today we're going to start our discussion with question 436. How should we treat the environment?
Yeah, the environment is very important. It's an excellent question, a very timely question, because issues concerning the environment are arising rapidly in our culture. We believe that God created the world and put it under the guidance of humanity to care for it and tend to it. In other words, human persons are to take care of all creatures and to take care of all creation and to use it wisely for the benefit of human persons. In other words, everything in the world, everything in our environment, all animals, plants, everything is for the good of human persons, for the good of human life. It's meant to serve human life. And so we humans need to take care of the environment. We need to make sure that the environment is healthy, that we're not polluting it, that we're not destroying it, that we are being good husbands of the animal kingdom, animal husbandry, that our use of resources, whether it be underground or above ground, are done in accord with right reason.
You mentioned littering a couple of days ago, and that's a simple little thing like that is harming the environment, obviously, if we do it to the extreme.
Yeah, and insofar as whenever we harm the environment by littering or wasting resources, we are hurting ourselves, because these are all meant for the service of human persons. And, you know, there's something nice about beauty. We human persons need beauty. We need to see that God created the world beautiful. And we need to see that beauty just so that we will develop properly as human persons. And with regards to using resources wisely, you know, the future belongs to those who use resources wisely. St. Augustine has a good phrase: seek to need less rather than to have more. In other words, frugality, justice, under the virtue of justice, requires that we try to use our resources as sparingly as possible. Now, we can still recreate, we can still have fun, but wherever we can, we should strive to use less.
And again, it goes back to what we talked about earlier in the previous show about the common good.
Exactly.
Being aware of the gifts that God's given us, but also being aware of others who also need to have clean air and fresh water and so forth.
And food, you know, food, clean air, clean water, many things.
Okay. Question 437 asks, how should we treat animals?
Ah, good. How should we treat animals? Well, animals are here for the good of human persons. And so to the extent that they serve the good of human persons, animals are good. So that obviously includes, you know, cattle and pets who can be good companions.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, prudence, the virtue of prudence, wise use of resources. When an animal whose purpose is to serve the good of human persons becomes burdensome to human persons, then there has to be a change. Something has to change. Because then it's unreasonable. Animals serve a great purpose for human persons. But we always have to keep focused on the fact that human persons are different than animals and are worth infinitely more than animals. Animals are here to serve us. Now, of course, cruelty to animals is eliminated. One should not be cruel to animals because that doesn't serve the good of human persons to be cruel to animals.
Mm-hmm.
But it always has to get back. What we should do with animals always has to get back to the foundational principle that they are here to serve the good of human persons.
Okay. Well said, Father. Question 438 asks, why does the Catholic Church have her own social teaching?
Ah, great. Well, you know, very good. Because all human persons, we believe that all human persons possess human dignity and, you know, a certain equality of dignity. Not that all persons are the same, but there's at one level, there's an equality of dignity as human persons. And so we're all created in the image and likeness of God. And so there is no human person on the face of the planet who does not deserve our respect, our treating them with human dignity, and who we should help if they are in need, because that again, love is about serving others, about helping those in need.
And the Church has been unwavering about the dignity of the human person.
Exactly.
Unwavering from the moment of conception until natural death.
Right. And in fact, you know, the social teaching of the Catholic Church, it's very interesting. When you look at the history of Europe in the past 2,000 years, it's really been the Catholic Church that has maintained human dignity in the face of political, governmental oppression. So we have held steadfastly. One thinks of the Dominican Bartolome de las Casas in the 16th century, who helped to defend the good the rights of the Indians in South America. The Catholic Church has always been at the forefront of defending the rights of those people who are oppressed, and this lies at the foundation of our social teaching.
Well, that's how America's schools and hospitals got started. We had European missionaries come over, most of who were women, not all, but women and priests, who educated the children mostly and also built hospitals to care for the sick.
Exactly. Now, this is not to say that Catholics were not involved in the oppression, but Catholic social teaching always fought against that. I mean, it's part of the reality of the Catholic Church is sometimes Catholics are involved in very bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But Catholic social teaching has always moved us to defend the needy and the poor and the oppressed.
So how did the Church's social teaching develop?
Yeah, I think that the Church's social teaching developed, first of all, from the fact that we are all created in the image and likeness of God. that we all enjoy certain personal dignity together. And then through reasoned reflection and on the world, through reasoned reflection on the different experiences of the world, the church, and of course through the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In light of the goal of human life, which is the life of heaven, the church has developed a very coherent, a very intelligent, a very loving social teaching that is available for everyone who seeks to know the truth. Social teaching, the social teaching of the Catholic Church encourages us to invest ourselves in this world to help the poor and needy. But at the same time, it always has us keep our eyes on the fact that this world is passing away, that this world is limited, and that our true inheritance, our true home, is the life of heaven, where there is no more death or sadness or suffering, but where God is all in all, the love that never ends. So our social teaching, our work here, our investment in social work here on earth, is meant as a way, ultimately, to bring people to heaven. And insofar as making their life better here on earth facilitates bringing them to heaven, then and that's why our social teaching has developed to what it has.
Could you take it a step further and say that for each one of us, the purpose of our life is to get to heaven by, one, loving God, and two, loving each other? Would that be a good summary of what our purpose and goal of life should be?
So our social teaching stems again from love, that God is love, that He calls us to love, that human dignity and the purpose of human life is love, and love naturally wants to bring more people into the circle of a community. When we love, we want more people to be a part of our circle of love. And that's Catholic social teaching.
So that leads us to question 450, which asks, what are the corporal works of mercy?
Yeah, so the corporal works of mercy are feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, bury the dead. These are all important works that the Church has encouraged people to practice. Now, there are also spiritual works of mercy. Admonish the sinner, instruct the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, comfort the sorrowful, bear wrongs patiently, forgive all injuries, pray for the living and the dead. These too are part, the corporal works of mercy and the spiritual work of mercy are essential parts of the Catholic Church's social teaching.
Well said, Father. You've been listening to Father Greg Maturi. And this is your host, Tim Perry, for Faith with Father. As we go through the UCAT, and we've been covering the commandments and talking about Catholic social teaching and what the basis is for that. I want to thank you for joining us. Until next time, may God bless you and yours. Bye now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.